that tonight. He does. John, when he wrote his epistle, or he wrote his gospel, he described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And everyone should feel that way. That you should feel that you are loved by him, and like John, that you're that he has a special love for you. Hey, tonight, I'm ministering a word. The Lord just dropped this in my heart. I'm excited about it. Called The Great Importance of Learning How to Set Healthy Boundaries in Your Life with Other People. Before we open this up, we're going to tell a joke. The newlywed wife said to her husband when he returned from work, "I have great news for you. Pretty soon we're going to be three in this house instead of two." Her husband ran to her with a smile on his face and delight in his eyes. He was glowing of happiness and kissed his wife when she said, "I'm so glad you feel this way, since tomorrow morning my mother's moving in with us." Yeah. I should set some boundaries on my jokes, I think. Hey, I'm excited. Today I worked 9 hours on, I've finished 3 books, and they'll be coming out actually next month. So a study book, we have a book on, written the book on the book of Hebrews, Ephesians, and then a leadership book. And then I have 2 more coming out this summer. And so I'm excited about getting some projects done. My first point to you tonight is there's nothing unloving or unchristlike about setting healthy and biblical boundaries with other people. Boundaries are a part of anything that works, anything that's successful, anything that's orderly, anything that's healthy. So God puts boundaries. There's a great verse in the book of Job, and when God's teaching Job, taking him through Bible school, and he said, "Were you there with me when I created the waters? And I said to the great oceans, 'Thus far may you come, and no further.'" So God put parameters around waters, and rivers flow in what? Banks. And if there wasn't banks, if there wasn't depth, the ocean being miles deep in some of its places, if there wasn't a place for water to be contained, water would literally flood our whole planet. So God creates boundaries. He's created boundaries for day. No day lasts forever, lasts 24 hours. There's always another day. The night comes, the morning comes. God never lets a winter last forever unless you live in Antarctica. But every season has to relent its grip. And so God, boundaries are a part of creative design in God. And so healthy people, to have a balanced life, you must learn to establish healthy boundaries. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to pray for his little daughter. And something unusual happens. I want to read this to you. Verse 38, when Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly, when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those that were with him and entered where the child was and said to her, after he took her by the hand, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the little girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. So Jesus is on his way to a miracle. And for the miracle to happen, he had to remove some people that would have stopped it from happening. So he comes to the place. They're already mourning the death of the woman, the little girl. And so they're wailing the mourning. They actually, Hebrews actually had professional mourners back then, people that were maybe not paid, but that was their calling, their ministry. And so all these mourners, so just imagine wailing and sorrow and great heaviness. Christ comes there, and then he says, right to all those sad people, "She's only asleep." So he challenges them head on, and it's amazing. They went from being, you know, sad to being mad, just like that. They said they ridiculed Christ. "Well, who do you think you are?" Well, the religious spirit rose up against him. And once he identified the religious spirit, he said, "I can't do what I have to do with you here." And Christ himself removed them. Now, there wasn't one person that Christ removed from that little girl's house that he didn't love. But he couldn't do what he was called to do with people that were unhealthy, that were toxic, that were religious-minded there. So he had to move them out so heaven could move in. So I've been in a couple of environments like that, right, in emergency rooms of hospitals and things, where I've had to politely ask for a change of the people that were in the room because they were combating me, praying for somebody. And I said, you know, you invited me here. Someone else did. Now, these people need to leave. I love them. Invite them to church. But if you want a miracle there in that hospital bed, you need to remove the people that are fighting it. So Jesus said, this little girl's life is too important. So when you're fighting for your life, okay, when you're fighting for your marriage, when you're fighting for your physical health, when you're fighting for your business breakthrough, there are some people you can't afford to have close to your life. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that their influence, because you don't have enough strength to fight your battle and them too. So sometimes in life, we have to whittle down the people that are around us. And so I promise you, after the little girl was raised up, Christ was out there rejoicing with all the people that were mocking him 5 minutes earlier. He got over that just like that, okay? So, but he knew how to get it done. In Genesis chapter 13, the Lord said to Abram, so God speaks to Abram. Now here's what happens. Right after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes, look north, south, east, and west. All the land you see, I'll give it to you and your descendants forever. So here's what God said to Abraham. Now that you finally got that person in your life, out of your life, I can talk to you about the rest of your life. Not every person who's with you now is going to be with you tomorrow. And there are some people that aren't going where you're going, and they have to leave before you can get the next assignment from God. Couple points. If God takes them, you don't need them. Okay? Now, what happens with us, we become emotionally engaged with people, and we don't want them to leave, but your destiny is more important than soul ties to people that aren't going to your destiny. So God will give you new friends and all of that, or you can establish some kind of parameters. Abram did not disown Lot. He just separated from him geographically and spiritually. So instead of living together, they had kind of a commune of everything together. They separated their camps, and Lot chose Sodom, the plains of Sodom, and Abraham the other way. So this is an important point. We're called to love everybody all the time. Okay? But to discern and then decide who should be in our life and who we should be close to. So we're called to love everybody, okay? But we must be discerning about who should be in our life and who we should be close to. Christ had how many disciples? He had 12, so he had this inner circle of how many? 3, James, John, and Peter. So he had an inner circle, 3, then 12, then the Bible talks about, you know, there's 70 he anointed as leaders. Then it keeps growing in these kind of concentric circles. Not everyone had the same proximity to Christ as the 3 did. Not everyone had the same proximity to Christ as the 12 did. So there were different levels of engagement Christ determined. Now, there's a couple points. There are some people that you're called to love, but you're called to love them from afar. Okay, now a couple points. Listen, I am so merciful. My family has to drag me out of encounters for years and years and years. I'd be the last person to leave church. So I've done 1,000 things wrong when it comes to setting boundaries. But my wife is a boundary pit bull. A beautiful pit bull. Okay? So when my wife sends me a note or comes and gets me, I know that she's heard from Jesus. I have to obey her or else he gets mad at me. Because she's discerning. So there are some people that are in your world that drain you. Now, I'm not afraid of that. I give out for a living. But there are some people, listen to me, you work all week, you're working hard, you're doing this, raising a family, and there are some people that come into your world, listen to me, and they're trying to gain momentum in their life from stealing yours. So instead of building their faith, they want to live off of your faith. Now, you can carry people like that for a while, but there comes a time when the relationship becomes so kind of uneven, it's costing you too much. So if it's affecting your marriage, your home, your business, your ministry, your life, so if you're being drained so that you can't be a healthy person in your relationships because of an unhealthy person who is attaching to you and draining you, then you have to make a quality decision. Love them, but set boundaries for them. Okay? Set healthy, biblical boundaries. Jesus said something. John makes this observation in John 2 that is really quite profound. In the book of John, John does say some things that are just very deep because of John's closeness to Christ. But John 2:24, Jesus did not commit himself to them. Okay, people. Why? Because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, there's just so much to unwrap with that. So there's a couple points that I say as a leader. So I tell pastors when I'm with them in certain circles. I say, your level of commitment to people needs to be determined on their level of commitment to you. So one of the things that I say, never commit to those that won't submit. And I'm not talking about, you never hear me walk around, everybody submit to me. You can try, but I'm not really interested in that. Okay? I don't want to tell you where to work, who to marry. I'm going to pray that crazy for you. But submission is a biblical truth where God looks at your heart. And if I'm your pastor, then when God speaks to me, then you need to receive the word God has. That's how it works. Simple as that. And counsel, things like that. Okay, so, but anyways, Christ knew people. So this is a huge point because one of the most effective tactics of the enemy to keep us in unhealthy engagements is our fear of rejection from people. So Jesus didn't need people to tell him who he is or to add value to his life. Now, this is a massive thing. So I'm working with pastors, working with leaders. So they get up here and they're on the stage, wherever they're at. And the moment they do, there's a satisfying engagement. Okay, they feel value, they feel honor, they feel worth. There's all kinds of things attached to public engagements in any kind of environment, but especially the church. But the problem is if this stage is more important to meet your need than the Holy Spirit flowing through to meet people's needs, you're going to create a codependency of unhealth in your congregation, and you're going to keep them addicted to you or dependent on you so you'll be important to them. But healthy leaders raise up healthy leaders. Okay? So, my goal in this church is for you eagles to soar. Okay? Man, fulfill your destiny. And, we raised four kids. Our goal was, I'm very proud of my kids. They're all hardworking and very industrious and just, and all kinds of stuff. Just good, awesome kids. So it makes you feel like you've kind of succeeded when they move out of the house. Woo! Okay? Now, I'm not belittling anyone here. Still living with your folks. God bless you. My kids are all married, a little bit different. But it makes you feel as a parent, you've kind of succeeded in helping them mature to adult responsibility. And that's an important thing. Now, as it comes to emotional accountability, here's how it relates to us, is that we don't make decisions in life about who's in our life because of our neediness or because of our wantedness or because of our insecurity. The Message Bible, that same verse says this, during the time he was in Jerusalem, those days of the Passover feast, many people noticed the signs that he displayed, and seeing that they pointed straight at God, entrusted their lives to God. But Jesus didn't entrust his life to them. He knew them inside and out and knew how untrustworthy they were and didn't need any help in seeing right through them. So a couple points. All the time, I engage with people that have agendas. And it doesn't matter. Jesus loves people with agendas. Jesus loves controlling people. Jesus loves unhealthy people. This church is welcoming to all those people. Okay? Big sign out front. Welcome pimps and prostitutes and drug dealers and crooked politicians and backsliding preachers and unhappy lawyers. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this is a non-discriminatory place where anybody can come. Doesn't matter. Just come. Let Jesus make you better. That's what he does. But Jesus understood when people carried agendas. And it's an important thing because the Holy Ghost will help you. So someone might look so great and what they're saying sounds so polished and so nice. But inside of you, whenever there's an unease, that's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Not going to end well. I know it looks good. Don't do it, Mike. I said, well, what's wrong? Everything looks great. A great opportunity. 3 months later, oh, why didn't I listen to your Holy Spirit? You tried to warn me. That's always the Holy Spirit, my wife. Why didn't I listen to my wife? Okay, so the Holy Spirit tries to help us. Not everyone you begin with in life will be with you later in life. And you have to be okay with that, okay? My second point is this. Never let someone else's storm destroy your life. Never let someone else's storm destroy your life. So I have a bunch of stories, but I'm not going to tell them because they'll involve people that are still alive. But let's just say there's a lot of ammunition I could put behind it. But I'm going to read from Jonah. Jonah's a great Bible story about a prophet, his relationship with God, and some of the things he went through. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Now, so this is Jonah running from God. So God told him to go to Nineveh and prophesy to Nineveh. That you're about to be, in 40 days, God's going to burn you down, okay? And so instead of doing that, he went to Tarshish. If you look on a map, exact opposite place. Nineveh's up, Tarshish is down. So because it would be like this. The people of the Hebrews had enmity with the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were massively cruel toward Israel. So The word was, go prophesy that they have a chance to repent to your arch enemy. Okay? Go tell North Korea they got 40 days, okay? An arch enemy. So he's reluctant to it. His prejudices rise up. Oh, man. I'm not going to do that. So he runs from God. The moment he ran from God, he created a storm. Okay. Then the mariners were afraid. So the people, the professional fishermen, the professional sailors, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, laid down, and was fast asleep. So Jonah, one of the symptoms of depression is emotional exhaustion when people just want to sleep. And oftentimes that's kind of a diagnosed way that you can understand that you're fighting some emotional depression. But anyway, he's in the bottom of the ship in a storm sleeping. And the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? That's a whole different sermon. So he wakes him up because everyone else is concerned about his storm but him. Okay, a couple points. It's really hard to help people that don't want help. Okay? It's a tough thing when the whole family's upset, but the person who needs the help isn't. You with me? And his storm or her storm is raging against the whole family. What do you mean, sleeper? Wake up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to each other, come on, let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause the trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So God's busting him, okay? So God's using that kind of secular device to reveal a heavenly purpose. It's amazing how God can get a message to you sometimes. I was down, this was like 7 years ago, at the city hall, and the vice mayor came up to me and started like prophesying to me. And I was so stunned. I said, I don't believe in politicians prophesying to anybody. And it's so anointed, and it was so wise, and it was so, I was, catch me, where's the catchers? And the whole, like for 2 weeks, I was just stunned. I go, I can't believe you gave me a prophecy through a politician. It's amazing. So God, when he wants to talk to you, will use people that aren't even engaged with your faith. But he will use them to declare a message to you. Especially when you're potentially in a little trouble. Okay, so the lot falls on Jonah. Ouch. Then they said to him, please tell us, verse 8, for what cause has the trouble come upon us? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What kind of people are you? And he said this, I'm a preacher. Okay, I'm a Hebrew. I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Said to him, why have you done this? Now, just a couple of points. We can be so selfishly engaged in our own kind of indulgent pity that people's lives are being ruined and we hardly notice it. A whole ship full of men going to die because one person has a storm in his life. It's amazing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, one sinner can cause much harm. We're all sinners. What it's really saying, one person who's in an active storm can bring the tornado of damage into all kinds of people's. Havoc can come to all kinds of people's lives. So they begin to negotiate with Jonah. Why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. So he said this, you know, basically said, hey, I'm a backslidden prophet. You know, God told me to do it. I don't want to do it. And this whole thing's caused because of me. And so they were both, they had a reverence come over them and then a panic. Okay, they have an awe of God who could create such a tumult, but they're also panicking because they're caught up in it. So they're trying to find a solution. And then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. And he said to him, pick me up and throw me to the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, you have to get this. There are some people that are so damaging in your world, you have to let them go. And you have to toss them not into the sea, but into the arms of God. God's arms are big enough to handle the rebel in your family. Or the person who's running from God, or the person who's active in some kind of, you know, turbulent behavior. God's big enough to handle them. Sometimes you have to step back and let God take over. Okay, stop trying to fix people that don't want to be fixed. See, when people, codependency, when people become engaged in an unhealthy relationships, often a need is met in the person trying to fix the person. I'm trying to fix it. They find value. They find meaning. They find worth. But it's all stopping God from doing his thing. It's creating havoc in their life. Sometimes you got to step back and let God take over. I know with our kids, this is so hard to do with kids. You know, because you want to help them. But I did it, you know, many years ago, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago, I'd let one of my kids just turn him over to God. Like 2 months later, God delivered him. I worked on him for 7 years. God has him for 8 weeks and sets him free. Unbelievable. Pick me up, throw me to the sea. So don't let someone else's storm destroy your life. Don't let it happen. Now, there's all kinds of things engaged in that. There are some people. So one of the fiercest storms in life comes from people with controlling spirits, a controlling nature. So there are people that don't take no for an answer. In psychology, in child psychology, we know it's healthy when a child starts saying no, even though parents don't. It's good that a child learns to set boundaries. The first 3 or 4 months of a child's life, a baby cannot distinguish itself from its mother. There's a genuine bond there. It's an act of God. It's a wonderful thing. But after about 4 or 5 months, the baby begins to self-identify, begins to have the personality, begins to show behavior independent of mother. And it grows. And then they come to the no stage. And even though no, it's hard to hear, as a parent, it's good that the child learns, because we want our kids to know it's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to say no. And people that can't say no will always end up in traumatic, toxic environments. You have to say no. You love people, do everything for them. But sometimes you have to say no. I was at a meeting, and just this year, I've been in a couple, you know, 4-hour meetings. So I just prophesied for hours straight. It's a very physically taxing thing. One of the meetings, my wife just walked up to me. And there were still 50 people to pray for. She grabbed my arm and just literally pulled me out of the meeting. And the pastor looked at me. I said, "I don't know. I live with her. I got to do what she says." And she said, "You know, if you let them, they'll kill you." And I said, I don't look at it that way, but she does. And so she sets boundaries for me. She helps me, okay? So people that really love you and that are for you want you to be healthy enough to establish these parameters of engagement with other people. So that when I first started pastoring, I had the early morning prayer was in our house every morning at 5:30, and I did all these really unhealthy things. And so, you know, my kids would wander. We'd be praying in the living room. My kids would be wandering around in their pajamas. "What's going on, Daddy?" And I learned, my wife helped me learn, and we learned together, to protect everything from the church, from our family, so our family could have an individual expression of life. Because I didn't want my kids growing up having an attitude against the church, because it stole their parents away from them and everything was kind of put together. No, we highlight time with their family. We really became good at doing that. And it helped sustain our kids through very difficult times. So they did pick up Jonah. They threw him into the sea. And then the waves calmed. So some people, some of the spiritual warfare that you're engaged in isn't you. It's not that stupid alarm's going to go off all night. Some of the spiritual warfare that you have in your life is because someone that's in a storm is in your life. After a while, there'll be so much water in your boat, you'll have to make a quality decision whether you're going to go down with them or toss them overboard. Okay? So you have to be strong enough to say no to protect your family, your life, your own health. Your own health. You have to be strong enough to say no. You know, several times in the ministry of Christ, Christ is preaching and he's gathering this. The crowds were so big at some stages that they're just called multitudes. So he's doing miracles. And frequently he'd be right there and there's thousands, tens of thousands of people there. No one in the world could draw crowds like that. And he would just say to his disciples, "We got to go." He would turn and walk away from massive crowds. Now, I know a lot of preachers. I don't know hardly any of them that would do that. Okay? He walks away. Why? He knew when his level of engagement, when his level of resource was so depleted, it would hurt him to stay with them. He turned around. What did he do? He went to the mountain, prayed, replenished, resupplied his energy, his faith, his love, all the things. He had to get more. There's nothing wrong. In fact, you have to set boundaries. Americans in the first world, Americans take the least amount of vacations. And for, you know, I used to brag as a young pastor about never taking vacations. I just work every, and I'm here, you know, preaching all the time. And then I realized, the older I got, I realized that's a really stupid thing to brag about. You know, because healthy people know when to pull back, know when to take care of themselves, know when to replenish their souls. So it's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to say no. It's okay to disengage. It's okay to turn people over to God. It's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to tell. So when you're engaged with a, I don't want to say a narcissist, but let's just say a person with a controlling edge, okay? So a controlling person will run your life until you tell them no. So there's two kinds of controlling people. There is the aggressive kind that is out in the open. You need this, that. You need to wear this, go there, that. This haircut, that. You need to eat that. You need to go there. You need to do that. You need to wake up then. You need to do these things. Here, do these things. Are you doing these things? So the and it doesn't mean they don't want good for you, but their controlling appetite is drowning out the potential good because they're asserting through an intimidating action, they're asserting control over you. So anybody in influence or any authority, you always have to be careful that you're not unleashing a aggressive control against over people, because that's never Jesus led by example. The devil pushes, Jesus gently leads. Okay? The second kind of controlling person is the manipulator. And the manipulator is the person who uses their emotions to get you to do what they want done. So through emotional manipulation, so you might have a relative that if you don't do what they want, they go into a, you know, they're very upset. So I have a relative in my family, not in my nuclear family, in my family, I got a relative like that. So, but after a while, it works for a while. After a while, that's just him trying to control everybody. So the person gets all upset and no one even cares anymore because they know it's all a put on. They know it's all an attempt to manipulate, to control. The other way, so in Christian circles, we have to be careful that we don't manipulate through any kind of Christian activity, doctrine, or expression. So we have to be careful about getting our will, using the scripture or some of the, well, God spoke to me. You with me? Come on, boy, I hear that a lot. I want God to speak to you, but God's not going to speak to you about what I should do. Pastor, God spoke to me. He did do this. Oh, did he? I was just with him a second ago. I don't know why he didn't bring that up. I'm surprised. So I was with my, I've been with Pastor Chad like three times. Well, when a woman just walked up to him and said, "Hey, Pastor Ted, God spoke to me. I'm supposed to be your wife." I'm like, I'm looking at him. I'm saying, I'm leaving. No, he said it happened so time, so many times. He's got this look. He said, do you really want to say that to me? Yeah, yeah. I had a dream. We were together. Really? Well, don't you think it was from God? He'd have the same dream with you in it. Ooh. Getting quiet in the Southern Baptist Church. So you have to be careful not to control people. Okay? Okay, couple points. If you don't start tithing, your house is going to burn down. God bless you. Or if you don't come soul witnessing with us on Saturday, you're going to hell. God bless you. So anything, you can't make a good thing happen a bad way in the kingdom. Bad methods don't justify good intentions. Okay, in the kingdom. So because God's a heart God, okay, he's looking at stuff. He's looking. So you know, I still get, you know, people, they see the size of our church and they get excited about potential business opportunities. And Pastor, we could make a lot of money. And they may be really sincere, but it's just a total agenda. I'm like, you go make a lot of money and give it to me. Don't ask me to make your money for you, okay? We don't allow that here. We don't allow people to sell their stuff. And we want this to be a kind of a safe place. Not a job interview. Or people selling their stuff. So there's so many things. So if someone's really toxic, so an unhealthy person who is often angry. Now, there's a scripture in Proverbs 19:19. And it says, you can calm a angry man today, but just know you'll have to calm him again tomorrow. When you have someone in your world that's constantly angry, they are emotionally toxic. And it doesn't matter. So people that, well, I got him calmed down. I got him calmed down. Well, it's just a matter till he blows up again. You know, upsets me. A couple of things upset me. I've had to counsel women that were being physically abused by their husbands. And I said, you know, in Christian faith, a woman of God does not have to live with a man who abuses her. Can I have an amen from the women here? I don't know if the men are like, where's that in scripture, Pastor? And God doesn't ask you to sacrifice your health in order to pacify some unhealthy person. You can't make yourself sick trying to help someone else get better. There comes a moment when you've got to draw some boundaries. See, there's people in your family. So I have people in my extended family. I love them. I always tell them I love them. I pray for them all the time. But I've protected my family from them. I've protected my life from them. Had to. We'll keep doing it. Why? I can't afford it. Can't afford. Fighting enough devils. Don't need that one to jump onto. Got enough things going on. Don't need that unnecessary battle in my world. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's so awesome. So Jesus has like this radar. He sees them coming, you know. He absolutely knows if they're sincere. There's no guile in that guy, and there's lots of guile in that guy. So Jesus has this radar, and the same Holy Spirit that led him will lead you. He'll help you establish healthy relationships. A couple of things, scriptures, and I'm almost done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, this was kind of on a doctrinal basis. He's building this, people that are against the resurrection. But this is so true. If you're not winning them, they're winning you. okay? Well, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to win these people. And before long, you're acting just like them. And they're not acting just like you. So I'm all for it. Everybody here should have some unsaved friends. Everybody here who has unsaved friends should be shining the light of God's grace and love on them and should not become ensnared in their sinful behavior. I don't have to smoke weed with you to love you. We're just chilling. I know you're chilling. God bless you. I know you need it. I know it's your medical. Yeah. I'm all for you. Yeah. So you have to be careful when you start being pulled into a distance from God. So anybody in your world who pulls you away from God, you have to let go of, or you have to set boundaries. Okay? So I know of a situation. So this person was in this person's life, and so they would want to be with him every time there was a church service. Hey, I want to do something today. Well, I got church. This is my only day. But really, he was strategically pulling this person away from Christ. So you have to recognize evil communications, evil company corrupts good habits. So you can tell, I can tell your future by the friends you hang out with. Okay? Your friends are a prophecy of your future. Okay? Yeah, I have some people that need Christ. But if you're in that world, if you're not winning, you're losing. And you're being corrupted. Okay, last scripture. In Romans 16, 17, Paul's, this is just a pastoral note. I want to amplify it beyond this expression here. I urge you, brethren, note, I think the Greek word scopio, mark. Those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and do what? Avoid them. So he doesn't say curse them, doesn't say throw them to the devil. But so in Proverbs it says this: if you befriend an angry man, you're going to become an angry man. Okay? So people that carry offense or people that are divisive, they're carrying an agenda of bitterness. And sometimes you have to be careful how much input they're having into your life. Okay? Take note of them. Love them. So if you're with someone and every time you're with them, all they do is tear down the body of Christ, tear down the church, or tear down preachers, or tear down, you know, Christianity, you have to measure how much of that you can handle before it starts creating an offense in you. So many people, all the time I counsel people that are carrying an offense from someone else. Oh, I didn't like the way you asked that man to leave the service. Well, maybe you didn't know, you know, we found a knife on him, or maybe you don't know everything. Maybe you don't know the other side of it. Okay? You have to be careful not to adopt. When I do marriage counseling, it is funny. I don't do that much of it. I'm just too busy. But doing marriage counseling, so I sit with one person. My husband, he's horrible. And by the end of the session, I'm like, man, your husband's a jerk. Next day, the husband comes in. I'm like, oh my gosh, your wife's horrible. I was just with her yesterday. There's always two sides. You with me? You have to be careful not to be seduced or manipulated by somebody who has an agenda, who wants you on their side, is building momentum for making some decision or causing some kind of action. So God helps us. And Lord, I thank you. Please get this. I believe God never gives up on people. So this church is where people come to get a new beginning. We're a miracle church. But in your miracle story, especially in vulnerable moments of it, you have to protect your outcome by securing who's with you today. You have to watch over yourself. You have to watch over my wife and I. So, for example, with our kids, we gave them boundaries. Okay? You have to be home at this time. You can only do this. When I discern something was wrong with one of their friends, says, you can't hang around that person. Why? I don't have to tell you why I'm the father. Well, it all would pan out. There was something wrong with that kid. It would come out. So God will help you protect your kids. I was in a church service. It was like 20 years ago. I was down front, and a woman was in line. She came to me. My wife sprinted from the back. Sprinted, and she stood by my side. So the woman that stood before me, she was an attractive woman. And my wife said, the Lord spoke to me. She has an unclean spirit. And she goes after preachers to pull them into immorality. So she comes. My wife's running down in her high heels. I'd never seen it. All of a sudden, you know, she's edging in front of this woman. Hey, sister. Well, we didn't have any trouble with that woman. She was afraid of my wife. That's a good thing. Okay, good thing. Holy Spirit, thank you for your guidance in our life. Thank you that we're so able to trust you. And thank you that you help us give an expression to what kind of remedy we need with various things. With people, when people are really hurting, sometimes their hurts are so damaging to others, we have to pull back. But we know you never do. So thank you for your help in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for discerning guidance. Thank you for spiritual insight and perception. Thank you for helping us and protecting us. And thank you for it. I just want to pray this prayer. Some of you have a Jonah in your world. Someone who is in a qualified real storm that's damaging a lot of people. And tonight, I just feel like the Lord wants you to give your Jonah to him. Woman or male, doesn't matter. Just let Jesus have your Jonah. Let Jesus have that person who's in an upheaval. Amen. If that's you, to just pray a prayer right now. Lord, I just give this person to you. I give this person to you. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, for helping us. I pray for anyone here who has been had a hard time. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute. I want to pray this prayer. If you've had a hard time saying no to controlling people or intimidating people, manipulative people, I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch you tonight, that God's going to awaken your no. Okay? He's going to help your will assert a directional guidance. But if you say, Pastor, that's me, man. I'm having a hard time saying no, and I just need the Lord to help me. Would you just hold up your hand? No one's looking around. Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you. It's beautiful. Yeah. So just keep your hand up. Just say this prayer with me. Holy Spirit, I ask for your help tonight to strengthen me, to give me the power to say no. By your grace, I can do all things through Christ. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for, there's some of you that you have felt, you felt like that you've been engaged under the influence of a controlling person. And either emotionally or through aggressive behavior, through emotional manipulation, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And it's just what that spins off into oppression, okay? It spins off into demonic activity. So witchcraft is a sin of the flesh, controlling people. That's what it is. And it becomes demonized when people are engaged in its continual practice. So I just declare over anybody, if you say, Pastor, I feel like that I've been in spiritual warfare because of a controlling person or controlling power, and tonight I'm going to claim my freedom. If that's you, just wait. Yeah, if that's you, just hold up your hands, because I'm going to pray for you. And here's my prayer for you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. In the name of Jesus. God, we break the grip. These are your children. Jesus, you are their Lord. No one has the right to claim that place in their life but you. So God, let the cords of control be cut tonight. Let freedom erupt in souls and hearts as people know whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, thank you. No weapon formed against these precious ones will prosper. And every word spoken against them in judgment is condemned. In Christ's name. Hey, would you stand to your feet, church? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thanks for letting me pastor you a little bit tonight. Felt like the Lord at this floor is kind of just dropped way out of my normal orbit for Wednesdays. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and helping us. And thank you, Lord, that you're giving us a pathway to a new season. And that pathway begins by us being able to set boundaries. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hey, prayer team, would you join me down front? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just slip up your hands to heaven, everybody.
Go home to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought.
Tonight that God's undoing damage that was done to you by someone else's storm. God's going to unravel your heart, your mind, your life, your family, your other relationships, your finance, your physical health from any damaging encounter or a season that's been damaging because someone brought a storm into your world. And if you feel like if that's you, come on, let us pray for you tonight, because God's really, He's restarting you, okay? He's giving you a do-over. He's giving you a freedom season. God wants to unplug you from something. And the consequence of that season and those actions. If you're here tonight and need prayer for a physical need, we'd love to pray for you. We believe in praying for the sick. As the Bible says, lay hands upon the sick and pray the prayer of faith, and God will heal them. If you're here and have never received Jesus Christ as your saving God, as your friend, as the forgiver of your sins, we'd love to pray for you. Come forward, let us pray for you. If you need prayer for any other reason, don't race out. If you feel the Holy Spirit kind of tugging on your heart, follow through with that and let God do something great in you. One more time, come to
the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of
invite someone to church with you Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Have a powerful word about your inheritance. Don't let anybody steal your inheritance. And If you think of it, pray for me tomorrow and Friday. I have a board meeting with Jewish Voice Ministries International, a wonderful ministry that's winning Jews to Jesus Christ, winning Jews to their Messiah. And it's a two-day board meeting with, and what would be a blessing to all my friends there. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome rest of your week. Tell someone around you Jesus loves them. God bless you. You can stay here as long as you want to. God bless.
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the price.